FA programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Anadeya Judith, and she is the author of Charge in the Energy Body. Anadeya, we were just talking about beliefs and how they can really control us. I think you even, when you go back to the idea of ourselves as a computer, the analogy is a computer system, they're the kind of operating system. Beliefs are part of that operating system. And they can be helpful or they can also hold us back.
They tell us how to operate. And they direct attention. So you put your attention on what you believe is important. You don't believe this is important, you don't pay it any mind. You believe it's important to study this, or, you know, you get a pain in your body, you say it's important to pay attention to it, or it's not. So they actually create our experience, because wherever our attention goes, that's what we're experiencing in that moment, right? So I'm putting my attention on you right now. I'm experiencing you. If there was a loud sound outside, my attention would be distracted. So we can believe we're not worthy. We can believe life is hard. We can believe it, you know, relationships don't work out. We can believe that there's something wrong with me or I'm flawed in some way. These are common beliefs that people have, and they may not even be aware of them. But they are filtering their experience. And as they filter their experience, they become more evidence for that belief. Well, see, you know, relationships work out. That one didn't work out either. And so, she didn't work out. And that's what they're putting their attention on instead of noticing all the relationships that are working out.
So they also become habits.
Yes, absolutely. And they become grooves in the thought processes of the brain. The more we study neuroscience now with, you know, the maxim people are saying all the time, neurons that fire together wire together, the more often you have a negative thought, like I'm not good enough or I don't have what it takes, the more you wire your neurons into that and the more you're going to have that experience. So we're actually creating our experience with our beliefs. Change your beliefs and you begin to change your experience.
So you first have to know what you believe.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the tricky part.
That's the tricky part because so many beliefs are hidden, you know. But you can say, you know, whatever is persisting in your life, what would somebody have to believe to create that? Or what do you believe about that? You know, if money problems are persisting in your life, well, what are your beliefs about money? What are your beliefs about prosperity and work? And where did you get that? And did your parents teach you life is hard and you have to work? And then maybe your little kid goes, but I don't want to work that hard. And there's a block there. So we have to get at a belief self-diagnosis.
So when something keeps reoccurring, let's say, love relationships never work out. And then you would ask that question, well, I wonder what I believe about love and intimacy. And so this is where you go deeper, which reminds me of something else. When you work with charge in the body, you say very specifically, it's not about the circumstances of the charge. It's about the charge itself. Can you enlighten us about what you mean?
Yes, that's a very important point. So our charge gets triggered by something happening. You're in a relationship and your partner says something to you. They criticize you or they don't return a phone call or, you know, something. And you get some charge from it. That's a common experience. And most people will focus on, that's what he did to me, or that's what she said, blah, 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 and they're always doing this. They're focusing outside themselves. Instead, we go, okay, oh, I got charge coming up in me. That's interesting. Let me feel where the charge is. What chakra is it in? Oh, it's in my heart. Oh, it's in my belly. Oh, it's in my throat. What is that charge trying to open in me? Where is it trying to go? Oh, it's in my throat, and it actually is coming into me wanting to say something. Oh, well, when have I not been able to say something? Oh, yeah, my father never let me talk back when I was a little kid, and he was scolding me, and now I feel like that again every time my boyfriend interrupts me. So we start to make these connections. If we can take it off those current circumstances and say, where is it in the body? Where is it going? And where am I blocking it? How can I free that up from where I'm blocking it?
So let's give another example. Let's suppose that I feel, all right, something happens. Let me see if I can think of an example. Just something real simple. Someone cuts me off in traffic, and suddenly I just like really get feeling like something charges up in me, and I can feel it, and I go, oh, boy, that hit me right in the solar plexus, mm-hmm. right in the middle of my body. So what would I do with that then?
Well, if you're driving, it's hard to do much with it. You know, you'd almost have to pull over to work with it. But then you go, okay, let me feel what this is like in my belly. And you can even say, thank you, I got a delivery of charge. Charge is golden. And what am I doing to block it? Oh, I'm holding my breath. Well, let me take a deep breath. Let me breathe a little easy. Oh, I'm making a fist. Maybe I can relax my palms. Oh, I want to pound the steering wheel, you know? Well, maybe I can pound it for a minute and get that out of my system and then soften it and open my hands and see what that feels like. So the main piece of information is how do we block it? And that's an unconscious thing. Holding our breath or tightening our shoulders or, you know, tightening up the belly. When we bring our mind to it, it becomes conscious. Then we can do something about the block and allow the charge to come through and not block it.
So what I get from what you're saying is that the first thing to do is to notice where you're feeling it in the body. That's number one. That's the first thing to go to. The rest can follow after that, and you might figure out that it's something in your past or some pattern that's occurred in your life. But before you figure that out, don't go there first, is what you're saying. Don't try and figure out, oh, I'm mad because that person cut me off, because it's hard to leap into that first.
Yeah, it's hard to let go of the outer circumstances because they're so important. Well, they did that to me. They ripped me off. They, you know, and sure, that's good evidence, but you've got a charge. Let's work with that. You know, let's work with what it's doing in your body, because it's going to go into your configuration, however you have put yourself together, with all your defenses and gifts and openness and blocks. Everybody has them, and it's going to go through that shape. So when I do my workshops and I have people work with some charge material, I say, it doesn't matter whether you're picking the person that cut you off in traffic, you're picking something you read in the news today, or you're picking a major issue that happened in your family of origin, your charge is going to go to the same place, and it's going to light up the same block. And it's that block that we're going to work with.
That takes us to relationship. Now, it's not just our charge, but when we're in relationship, especially an intimate relationship, or even a work relationship or whatever, the people that we're around constantly, we're going to kind of trigger each other's charges, aren't we? So what's your advice about relationship and charges?
Well, it's guaranteed that your other relationships are going to trigger your charge. And it is going to trigger it so that you can bring it up and heal it. And the thing, again, we do in relationship is you're doing this to me. You know, this is your fault that I feel this way. And then you're missing the point. So when you get charge in a relationship, a partner says something and, oh, there's that issue again, and you've got your charge going. Or when you say something, like in my relationship, my partner will say, you got a little charge on that, don't you? And I'll just, we have this language, the common language now, and I'll stop and I'll go, yeah, I do. All right, let me look and see what that's about. And, oh, I realize I've been carrying this charge for a couple weeks because I never got to talk to you about this, or I carry this charge because this is what used to happen to me in my former marriage, or this is what used to happen to me as a kid, or this has been an issue for me all my life. And we can work with it in that way. And when you can do that, it diffuses a little bit. Then you can talk about the issue. The issue might be real, but you can talk about it without all that extra charge on top. Because when you're saying something to someone, oh, you did this again, you're so stupid, blah, 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 they can't hear it when all that charge is coming at them. It's toxic. And so, you know, when someone is discharging in that way in relationship, and I tell this to couples when I'm with them and it's happening, don't even bother to interrupt. Let a person finish discharging, kind of turn sideways so you're not taking all that energy into your chakras until they're all done. Practice some active listening. So I hear you saying this. I hear that you're frustrated. I hear that you're angry. I hear that you're upset. And then when that's all diffused, you can say something and it'll get in. But if you try to get something in to that torrent of charge, it's like trying to swim upstream in a strong current. You won't get anywhere.
I know in your book you give us a brief reminder of the work of Susan Campbell and John Gray.
Yeah.
And their book on the five-minute
relationship
which we've done an interview on, which is on our website. But And I loved it because you're just a reminder of, hey, pause, take that pause, you know, however long that is, you know, 5 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever it is, you know, and that's what you're saying is just, hey, pause. You're not going to just kind of jump right into the fray.
Yeah, yeah. And before you discharge all your toxic charge on another person, go, okay, what is this charge I have? What's the real basis for it? What's the need that's not being met? What's the fear that I have? What's the feeling that's going on? What's my belief about this? These are some of the questions from her work, actually, that she has you go through when you take your pause. And then that pause is not indefinite. You say, look, I need to take 15 minutes. Can we come back in 15 minutes and, you know, take another stab at this?
Yeah.
And but in the meantime, I'm going to harvest some of my charge so I don't have to throw it all on you.
There you go. So the world would be a much better place.
Wouldn't it?
You know, if we really pay attention to that. So we've talked a little bit about relationship, and I do want to talk about charge in a full group situation. So I know that you give some wonderful ideas from some teachers that have been around for a long time. Freud is one, and Gustav Le Bon, I think, is another. Mm-hmm. So I'd love for you to share with us a bit about that in just one moment. But I do want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Anadea Judith, and she is the author of Charge in the Energy Body, The Vital Key to Healing Your Life, Your Chakras, and Your Relationships. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, anadeajudith.com, and that she spells her name A-N-O-D-E-A, Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H, anadeajudith.com. And in the book, she has wonderful exercises. And on her website, she has some free videos that go along with the book. If you get the book from her or wherever, then you can download these free videos. So check that out on her website. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
I'm here with Dr. Anadea Judith, and she is the author of Charge in the Energy Body, the Vital Key to Healing Your Life, Your Chakras, and Your Relationships. Anadea, what happens when the energy, we can't release a charge?
Yeah, that happens in children, or told, you know, shut up, don't talk to me that way, don't get angry, don't cry like that. We have to sit on our charge. And in somatic therapy, it's called binding the charge. And binding is like tying strings around a paper package so nothing falls out. And we bind it into the body. We bind it into muscular tension. That's the most common way. We bind it into repetitive thoughts. We bind it. Some people bind it by making a larger body, and they have more tissue, so they bind it into fat or eating or drinking or smoking or some kind of habit. It could be binding it into a behavior, a repetitive behavior, like tapping on doorknobs or washing your hands or playing on your phone. And binding the charge keeps it locked up. It's like putting it in jail. It's still there, but it's not free to be expressed, and it creates blocks in the body. Now, the problem is when you have bound charge, inevitably you're going to either be in a relationship or a group situation where that charge is triggered, and then it wants to get loose.
So now this takes us to that group dynamic, and I would love for you to talk about what that has to do with the group dynamic.
Well, when you have a lot of people who have some bound up charge, and anger is one of the most dangerous and most common. People are unhappy with their life. They've grown up in the ghetto. They've been the subject of repeated racism and oppression. They're going to have some anger. They get together in a group and someone says, well, let's break a window. Someone on their own might not do that, but when they're in the group, there's a certain kind of anonymity that happens, and the boundaries start to dissolve, and so all of a sudden that charge is given an outlet that has permission. Okay, well, this guy in the group is breaking the window. I can throw a rock and break a window too. And that's how, you know, riots can start. It's how a movement can, you know, a strong leader can channel that anger as a charge into something, and they can channel it into beliefs. And beliefs have a tremendous charge for a group, you know, whether it's a religious belief or, a sexual morality belief or
political belief.
Whatever. Yeah. People get very upset when their beliefs are challenged. And the groups hold the beliefs together, and they have a higher charge because we're all holding this together.
However, in that situation, and I think you point out in your work, that we think of that belief that we have as our individual choice.
Yes, that's right.
We feel like, oh, wait, this is my belief, and we want to stand on the soapbox and just defend it because it's our individual belief. But what you're saying is that there's this other dynamic going on that is a group think, so to speak.
It is, and it becomes an identity. I have this belief because I'm a conservative, or I'm a liberal, or I'm a progressive, or I'm gay, or I'm, you know, whatever, and that's part of the identity, and in that identity, we believe these things.
I mean, we want to belong to a group.
We do, and it's a really big human thing because there's a huge charge of, oh, I'm in this group. You know, and we share this together, and we can get angry together, and we can get upset together, and we can crusade together. And there's a lot of charge and energy in that people get sucked into when their own energy is blocked.
Well, you can think about it, talking about crusade.
I mean, sure.
Going back to the crusades back in former centuries when the group think was like putting people to the stake for their religious beliefs.
Yeah. It's a Deus Volt, and that means God wills it.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, and then they have that energy freed up because they have permission. Remember, beliefs is what kept it down. Oh, I don't have permission to be angry. Then all of a sudden they do, and they can act on it. And so they can destroy, they can follow a leader that's taking them in the wrong direction. It's very powerful. I mean, look at what Hitler did.
I was just thinking of Hitler and how the people, the group think, you know, they smashed the windows of Jewish citizens in Germany. And, you know, that was kind of a group think where an individual might not have done it. And if Freud were thinking about this, he would say the superego, which right. is the conscience
yeah.
of a person, is then sublimated to this group. And you would do something you'd never do on your own.
Exactly, exactly. And a strong orator, a strong leader can get everyone, you know, Hail Hitler, raising their hands together, and they feel this tremendous group energy, and they think that's because the leader is special. It's really the group energy they're experiencing.
Well, here's a positive. All right, I'm going to say it's a positive energy. The group energy was Dr. Martin Luther King speaking
yes.
on the mall and his I Have a Dream mm-hmm. speech, where the whole group was, and we just all felt really enlivened by that. And so what's the difference there, that one is, all right, I'm going to say the difference is one is life enhancing and one is not life enhancing. I would agree
with you, and that one can be destructive and one can be constructive. I have a dream. Here's what we can do. We can empower our citizens. Black people can have hope from their, you know, horrendous circumstances, that we can rise above this and we can rise to equality. That has a beautiful energy. Or we can destroy it. We can smash something. And so I think we have to be very careful with this group energy in which way we would direct it. If we don't direct it to something positive, people will latch on to the negative. And I think one thing in the world right now is that there's not enough articulation of a positive vision of where we can go in humanity, where we can go as a people at this time. It's not being articulated much. So we're actually being drawn into a more debased conversation where we're looking at what's wrong and we're seizing on this and who said this to that and is it true and is it not.
And that polarization of you believe this and we believe this and you're absolutely wrong or this side is absolutely
yeah.
wrong. We're just all in our different silos and nothing is getting really coming together for the positive good for all.
We need another I Have a Dream speech. You know, we need another Martin Luther King to pull it together, to transcend these polarities and say, here's where we can go as humanity.
Well, that's the whole thing. So if we have this charge as a society, we're collectively charged right now, I think.
We are.
In the U.S., we are collectively charged. And so what we have, if we have leaders that then are charismatic enough to give a suggestion, and that suggestion is taken up in combined with this charge, then we might go to smashing things or to making other people wrong and just sticking with I'm the truth and the light and this is the only way to go. So what's
well,
our way
we see
out
the
of
rise
it?
Of hate crimes right now.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the anger that's been in there that hasn't had a place to go. And again, I keep saying, because it doesn't have a positive place. You know, with a child, when you take away their toy, say, no, no, you can't play with this knife, they're going to scream and holler. But if you take away the knife and you say, but here's a doll or a truck or whatever that you can play with, you're giving them something else, they'll let go of the knife.
Right.
So we need to give a positive vision of what we can become on this earth at this time as a humanity with all the technology and skills and science and knowledge and interconnection and communication that we have. We're on, you know, we can create a utopian society, and we need to be articulating that. What are we here for?
So what do we need to do to watch our own individual charge around this group think?
Yeah, we need to be mindful of what the charge is doing in our own body. We keep coming back to our own body. The more we have worked it out inside, the less we'll be subject to this groupthink. And we need to question. You know, we need to question motives, question ourselves. Am I doing this just to, so I've got a backlog of anger that I'm trying to get back at somebody? Or am I doing this because this is really my core beliefs? You know, I say in the book that the ultimate goal is to be in the center of your own charge. So that's where the chakras are, right up and down the core of the body. If you can occupy the center, be in the center, then you are in charge of your own self. And you're less subject to manipulation by someone else through the repressed charge that, you know, you've shoved away somewhere.
So you're saying charge does not follow logic.
No. Well, it has its own logic, but it doesn't necessarily follow mental logic.
So in other words, you can't talk to someone in a logical way when they have a charge.
You can't.
That's not what they're going to respond to. That's why groupthink is so susceptible to a charismatic leader.
Yeah. And when people are confronted about that, logically, it doesn't compute for them and they get very angry because it's not addressing their charge.
So one last piece of advice before we sign off here.
Well, I say that the charge is golden when it's not blocked. And so as we can harvest the charge into our body and become more alive, more centered, more present, we can operate with more sensitivity, with more effectiveness, and with more balance.
Anandeya, thank you so much for being with us today. I've been here with Anandeya Judith. She is the author of Charge in the Energy Body, The Vital Key to Healing Your Life, Your Chakras, and Your Relationships. And if you want to know more about her work, go to her website, AnandeyaJudith.com. That's spelled A-N-O-D-E-A, Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3653.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. This program was recorded at Strawberry Hill Productions, a full-service podcast production studio in Novato, California. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Dr. Julia Mossbridge, author of The Premonition Code. And next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about the science of precognition and how sensing the future can change your life.
Don't get left out in the doghouse. My name is Priyansh, the production coordinator for the radio station. The fund drive is officially over, but if you miss your opportunity, you can still donate at cjsffunddrive.ca or text DONATE to 778-782-2573 and get into the club to be one of radio's best friends for 2024.
You're listening.